The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The gang is all here, although they're not all here.
You know I'm an expert.
Bro, you was tripping.
Boom, 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 boom. Northwestern is number one in strength of record. Number one in the entire country in strength of record. I don't care if I'm lit or I'm standing or not.
There was a great philosopher born in Buffalo, New York, named Brian McKnight.
What the actual heck did he just say?
Ooh.
I just want everyone to see how seriously Desmond Howard takes hydration. The reason the Eagles have the lead in the division is because of the tie.
Yeah, wait. The Eagles still got that tie, and they're still gonna win. I care more about being right than having friends. And right now, Fire, Adam, and Gase, I am right. Now, bring my dog Trevor Lawrence over here so we can eat.
I assumed that Fire, Adam, or Gase, one of them was the dog, because they only have two kids.
I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed.
I don't need no damn pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie.
Oh, what a fun week we have had here. And tomorrow night should be fun on ESPN2. UFC Fight Night main event. Battle of top heavyweight contenders. Curtis Blaydes, the second-rate contender, takes on Derek Lewis, the number four heavyweight contender. Prelim start tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on ESPN+. Main card, 10 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN+ in English and Spanish. And actually, just as a brief aside, this morning, last night, we had pecan pie with our Thanksgiving dinner, and there was too much of it, so I brought it in. And I just had a bunch of that with a large cup of coffee for breakfast, and I'm not going to lie to you, my hands are shaking. So that is the way we're doing this morning as we welcome you back to Get Up, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And here comes the menu for hour number two. We're getting up with the Cowboys. What were they doing last night? And are they now done? We're all over it. Plus, he's having the best season no one will ever remember. Deshaun deserves the praise, and he will get it coming up. And then, trouble in Baltimore. Can the Ravens possibly play without their MVP? That answer will surprise you. We will have the very latest as we get up with you, starting right now in Dallas yesterday. Washington football team taking on the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And, of course, the Cowboy players and coaches with a heavy heart yesterday in honoring their strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul, who died on Tuesday. To the action of the game, Cowboys striking in the second quarter, down 7-3, but down no more. Andy Dalton, Amari Cooper, 54 yards and a score. 6 catches, 112 yards for Cooper. Cowboys up 10-7. Then Mike McCarthy getting aggressive. 5.5 to play in the half. 4th and inches in his own territory. They're throwing a pass. That's incomplete. That's just a mess there. And it leads to this. It's Alex Smith. It's Logan Thomas. It's a touchdown. Washington up 17-10 at the half. Then big defensive plays in the third quarter. First, Alex Smith. I think he was just trying to dirt this ball. But instead, look what happens. Jalen Smith with the pick. He looks like he's going to score, but how about the effort from Terry McLaurin? Look at 17, catching up. McLaurin, who, by the way, is a sensational young receiver, makes a huge play because with the tackle inside the 10, the Cowboys then start doing this nonsense. I don't even know how to describe what they're doing here. Obviously, it's going nowhere fast. They wind up settling for a field goal. It's 20-16, Washington. Then this happened. 4th and 10. On their own 24-yard line, back to punt, and they run this. In the annals of really terrible play calls and execution, this one is going to rank very, very high. Really no explanation. You'll hear Mike McCarthy's explanation for it in a moment, but it really isn't an explanation. And as you will see, it turns into the end of the game because Antonio Gibson then just takes over completely. This is a 4-point game when that play takes place. Antonio Gibson then waving goodbye to the Cowboys, both literally and figuratively. That's a touchdown. And now we're going to see more from Antonio Gibson, who rushed for 115 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's the first rookie with 3 touchdowns on Thanksgiving since Randy Moss in 1998. Washington pulls away and wins huge. So, Mike McCarthy, how about that fake punt?
On the fake punt call, do you ever consider the negative part of it and say, okay, we're in this game, it's a 4-point game, let's just punt it and see if we can get a stop.
Well, you won't get anywhere if you're thinking about negatives all the time. You know, obviously it was a solid play call. It's a good play design. Their gunner made a good play, came off of it. He put us in a high-low read. That's the nature of those plays. You can never convert them, obviously, if you don't call them and if you don't believe in them. So I clearly understood the situation when it was called.
Mike, just to clear that up, you're saying you believe that's a solid play call and the risk doesn't even factor into it because that's negative thinking?
I'm fine with my answer before.
Well, that makes one of us. Anyway, solid play call, good play design. I suppose that's one way to describe what we saw there. Bart Scott, what way would you describe it?
I mean, you talk about the risk and him being, you know, we thought Riverboat Ryan was the gambler. He gambled his team victory all the way away. Now, this is how great they believe in the play. If you look at the same play with CeeDee Lamb, it's pretty much the same play they ran, you know, for the fake punt. You know, this is the reverse to CeeDee Lamb, and this is the throw, right? And what happens, this gunner, which are usually corners, did a tremendous job because he essentially held off the punter and the receiver, the intended receiver, down the field as he bought time for the rest of his teammates to figure it out. So this is just something where the risk that he took yesterday turned directly into points for the opposing team, and it's for your head coach to put you in the best position to win, not the worst. And in that time of the game, only being down by four, his decision to go for that play essentially ended the game and essentially handed his team a loss and really put their playoff hopes in jeopardy.
Significant jeopardy. Mark Sanchez, if you're the quarterback of a team, you're leading that offense, and when you're inside the 10-yard line, you're running all these trick plays, and now you're running a crazy fake punt from your own 24, what does that say to you about the confidence your coach has in your ability to win the game?
Well, let's be completely fair here. Everybody was running trick plays yesterday. Everybody's trying to be the Harlem Globetrotters on turf. I understand it. It's Thanksgiving. It's a short week. It kind of gives your offense a jolt when they work. My problem was the fourth and inches, and you throw the little, 9-yard hitch route or 9-yard stop route up the sideline. That one I had a problem with. This one right here. Just run the ball, go quarterback sneak, something, hand it to the fullback, anything. But this just didn't make sense to me. I have more of a problem with this than I do the fake punt.
Yeah, the fake punt, yes. To your point, yes, there were a lot of double reverses and all kinds of crazy plays yesterday. But the circumstance, exactly what Mike McCarthy just said, he didn't want to take into account because it's too negative, does come into play. It's a four-point game, and you're deep in your own territory when you run that fake punt. Anyway, Ninkovich, as you saw it yesterday and unfold, what do we say about the Dallas Cowboys right now?
Look, they're not a complete team. Your head coach is calling fake punts on the 25-yard line. When you're a defensive football player and you see that they go for a fake punt and you put your helmet on saying, well, we better stop them from scoring on this one because they at least have 3 points, that is not a great position to be in. And when you run fake punts this deep in your own territory, you're basically giving up points. And at the end, last time I checked, the game's all about not giving up points defensively. So the Cowboys at this point, their season, we all know it's been tough losing a lot of players. They lose a lot of offensive linemen in this game. They lose two starters in the start of this game. But it doesn't look good for Mike McCarthy. You know, at one point in this season, there were players questioning the coaching staff. And it just seems like it's really dysfunctional at this point.
Listen, so let's actually, because we've spent a lot of this morning talking about this. Every one of us agrees the game was coached horribly. If you had Ed Werder, he was with us about a half hour ago. He was extremely critical of the coaching as well. Let's take a bigger picture look at the Cowboys. Clearly, they've had a variety of injuries this year, including their quarterback, and that's made a significant factor. But the most important part of their offense is Zeke Elliott. They chose to pay him all of that money, Bart, and then they went out and they hired a coach who everyone said of Mike McCarthy, they never ran the ball in Green Bay. That's not me making that up. Everyone who ever watched Green Bay knows he doesn't run the football. So I'm not sure that it makes sense in the first place. What do we think of the marriage at this point going forward between a team with that guy on it and the coach of Mike McCarthy?
Well, remember, Mike McCarthy took a year off to kind of reflect and be able to change his ways as a coach. But what happens is when you struggle, you go back to who you are at the core. And at the core, he's not a guy that believes heavily in the run game. Anybody that's watched Green Bay football over the last 10 years will attest to that and understand that. But also, I want to kind of give him a mulligan because you look at it, he's really down. That great offensive line that they used to have is no longer. Tyron Smith is aging. You know, Travis Frederick left. And Zach Martin is forced to play right tackle, and then their other tackles go down. So I have no problems with the play calling as far as running the ball or trying to run a ball for this particular game. I'm talking about bigger picture. He's going to have a, you know, come to Jesus type of moment with himself and kind of realize that he has to change his ways or he won't be a head coach in this league for much longer.
So, Rob Ninkovich, you referenced a play earlier today. We've watched this fake punt over and over again, and I said, I think it's the worst fake punt that I've ever seen. You referenced a play that in a game that you were playing in, this was the play, and you're right, this was worse. Rob, take us through this.
So this actually has its own Wikipedia called the Colts Catastrophe. If you have a play that has its own webpage, you know it was a bad play. So in this particular matchup, we beat them, but I have no idea what they were trying to do. The center was obviously not supposed to snap the ball, and when they did that, there was nobody there to stop anyone from tackling Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee tried to explain this, that they went over this during the week. It was supposed to be catch us and 12 guys on the field or have us jump off sides. If we don't do that, they just let the time expire and take the 5-yard penalty. But they snapped the football. That is the worst fake punt attempt I've ever seen.
I can't disagree. And oh, by the way, I just watched it all during a break. It was also an illegal formation. So even if it had worked, it didn't work because the formation itself was illegal. That penalty was declined and the Patriots got the ball. So if there's any solace coming out of the game yesterday with the Cowboys, it wasn't the worst fake punt of all time. Meanwhile, Stephen A. Smith is going to join us coming up here in about 20 minutes. And in case you're wondering what his reaction was to the Cowboys' performance yesterday, let me give you a little taste.
All I got to say is this. How about the Cowboys? On Thanksgiving, yet again. Bye, y'all.
Holding a glass of milk. Anyway, Stephen A. live in 20 minutes here. Also coming out, he's not getting enough respect. Much more on Deshaun's deserved dazzling performance. And the latest on a developing story. How will the league respond after Lamar Jackson tests positive for the coronavirus? We're talking about that and more as we continue. Get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up with the Texans and the Lions kicking off your Thanksgiving Day football action. Pick it up less than 9 minutes in the first. No score, no more. Matthew Stafford, look at the trickeration. Sanchez mentioned it. Every team running crazy plays yesterday. This one, Matt Stafford, TJ Hockenson, 51 yards. Hockenson, 5 catches, 89 yards, and it leads to this. One of 2 touchdowns on the day for the ageless one, Adrian Peterson, taking it in. And so the Lions have themselves an early lead. And Barry Sanders says, maybe this will be our day. And J.J. Watt says, I've got other ideas. Take a look. We're late in the first quarter, and J.J. gets 2 mitts on it and takes it to the house. In for the score, his 7th career touchdown, and the entire game turns right there. And they hand it to Deshaun Watson. His first Thanksgiving Day game, and he was spectacular. Look at the throw to Duke Johnson. Left sideline was wide open all day. Texans up 20-14 there. Early fourth now, it's 26-17 Houston. Watson's favorite target now is Will Fuller, the speedy one, going up that same left sideline. Fuller, 6 catches, 171 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That was the first. Here comes the second. Little over 10 minutes in the fourth. Here's more tricky stuff. Take a look at the patience. Johnson, back to Deshaun. Deshaun, could you be more open than Fuller is here? Deshaun Watson, 17 of 25, 318 yards, 4 touchdowns. Texans on the periphery of the playoff picture in the AFC. But whatever they've done this year, they've done it behind spectacular quarterback play. Deshaun Watson, his last 6 games, 15 touchdowns, 0 picks. 5th different player, you see them there, to do that in a single season in NFL history. Meanwhile, to this developing story where we continue to follow what's going on with Baltimore and the chances that they will play Pittsburgh on Sunday. Lamar Jackson has tested positive for the coronavirus. Among the 4 latest Ravens players and 1 staff member to test positive yesterday. Ravens have now had at least a dozen players test positive this week. They've been especially hard hit with positive tests. Currently have 10 players on the reserve list before the Lamar Jackson test yesterday, and they're missing such incredibly important players as Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins and Calais Campbell, and you see the backup quarterback, Trace McSorley, as well. So one looks at that and thinks, can they possibly play against the Steelers on Sunday? Here's Jeremy Fallow, our insider, who's been working the story all morning long. What's the answer to that question? What is the latest?
Greeny, the latest is the league has not made a change to the schedule. I spoke with a source over there who said that they are working through this, huddling as we speak. They're trying to figure out if this game is simply medically safe. It doesn't matter how many players are out of the game right now. It's about, will this spread if they take the field? They don't want it spreading to the Steelers as well. I spoke to a Ravens source too that said they are prepared to travel right now, but they are loosely prepared, sort of bracing for any scenario.
I want to make sure I underline the first thing you said. This decision will not be made based on competitive advantage or disadvantage. It'll be made exclusively based upon their ability to play the game safely. So in the event they can't play, we are now beyond the point where we can just slot this game into a bye week. So if they can't play Sunday, what happens?
They can't play Sunday. They have a few options. They can try to move this back a few days, which they would prefer. You know, they'd rather play Monday or Tuesday than move it to week 18. Now, they have that in their back pocket. They can play games in between the regular season and the playoffs, but they don't want to do that. Remember, they have to consider a team like the Steelers. Let's say you're 15-0, then you have to play the Ravens in week 18 to finish out your schedule. They want to avoid those scenarios at all costs unless they absolutely have to move on that. But the Ravens play the Cowboys Thursday. They could maybe try to move that game back a few days and play Baltimore-Pittsburgh on Monday or Tuesday. Not ideal, but a lot of moving parts right now. They're working through all of those things.
Yes, let's underline that again. The Ravens and Steelers were supposed to play yesterday. That game got pushed to Sunday initially. The Ravens are supposed to play Dallas, with both teams initially having equal rest, next Thursday. As it is, the Ravens would be playing on a short week if they can play Sunday. But if they get moved to Monday or Tuesday, then clearly it stands to reason, Jeremy, they're not playing that game on Thursday.
No, that's exhausting just thinking about all the scenarios you rolled through, Greeny. I mean, it's not really feasible at that point, but they don't want to forfeit this game. That really isn't on the table. I know it's been talked about, but the Ravens wouldn't even get paid for the game in that scenario. So, you know, they want to avoid that. Even though the Ravens have had issues with lack of discipline here, you had a strength coach that, you know, according to what I've heard, they didn't take the proper precautions, didn't wear the mask all the time like they should have. So, you know, you shouldn't have to punish the Steelers for that, but this is the way the league has set it up. They want to get all the games on the books, and they'll do so however they can.
So let's go further into that. The Ravens suspended one of their members of their coaching staff yesterday. The National Football League will look into this, yes, and discipline is certainly a possibility.
Yeah, Greeny, I'm told that the league is investigating this. A discipline is possible. You could be looking at a six-figure fine. If it's really bad, depending on what they find, there could be a loss of draft picks. That was the case with the Raiders a couple weeks ago. If they find just sort of blind negligence, that people weren't taking the proper precautions, taking this seriously, they will act. Now, Tennessee, they had their outbreak, but they tried. They were proactive. They were upfront, forthcoming with the league. They didn't get hit as hard in that case, but this could be a different scenario.
Okay, we'll see. And Jeremy, I know that you're working the phones as we speak. We could get news pretty much any time, so stay close by. We'll certainly update you as this continues to develop. Meanwhile, the Ravens, you see why this game is so important. They're currently sitting there at 6-4 in this jam-packed AFC playoff picture. Right now, our analytics give them an 85% chance of making the playoffs, but that certainly could change quickly. Coming up, mistake after mistake after mistake. Don't miss Stephen A. Smith live on the Cowboys Thanksgiving disaster. He's 10 minutes away. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one is for Bart. Which NFL head coach has lost the most games over the last three seasons? That's the question. The answer's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back with Sneaky Hembo. Here we go, Bart. This one's for you. Which NFL head coach has lost the most games over the last three seasons?
Adam Gase, Greeny, would seem to be the obvious choice, but I'm going to go with Doug Marrone down in Jacksonville as they're trying to fight me and your Jets for the number one overall pick.
That is correct. You got it. Hembo, I thought Hembo was sending you in the direction of Matt Patricia because of all of your Detroit Lions love. Marrone has lost 30 games, Patricia 29, Adam Gase 28. Well played by Bart Scott on this day. Coming up, it might have been the worst play call of the season. What did Stephen A. think about the Cowboys' epic fail? We'll ask him next. Come on, get up! We're back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, another look at what happened in Dallas yesterday. The Washington football team and the Cowboys, and Dallas with a lot of very curious decisions. This was one of them. On a fourth and inches in their own territory in the second quarter of the game, they're throwing a pass, and that winds up leading to this. Alex Smith, Logan Thomas touchdown, Washington up 17-10 at halftime. Then in a four-point game, down four in the fourth quarter at their own 24, on fourth and 10, they run this fake punt. What the actual heck was this? Now, Washington winds up taking over and literally taking over. Antonio Gibson then would wind up scoring a couple more touchdowns. This is the rookie running back waving bye-bye, literally and figuratively, to the Cowboys and probably their playoff hopes. Gibson, three touchdowns on the day. He's the first rookie to score three touchdowns on Thanksgiving since Randy Moss in 1998. There's his third. That one put the cherry on top of the sundae, and it was all over. Washington pulls away and wins big, and one can only wonder what Jerry Jones is thinking as he watches. We never wonder what Stephen A. Smith is thinking as he watches the Cowboys struggle on Thanksgiving or, frankly, any other day. And Stephen A., first off, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And the
happy
most important thing, I felt I needed to have you on today for this reason. Because I said to you, when you were on with me the other day, I said to you, Steve, we know what's going to happen now. The Cowboys are going to win the division. And you know what? I feel like a fool. You were right. They always find a way. How about yesterday?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. I was right there with you. I certainly felt that way, and it's still quite possible that they can win the division. We all know that because we don't anticipate that the Washington football team, you know, the team that doesn't even have a name, the team that we can't even tell whether or not they're from D.C. or the Pacific Northwest because they haven't made it very clear. We understand all of those things, right? Excuse me. The bottom line is this, though. We have to focus on yesterday. Even though we may have been wrong, you feel like a fool. I feel ecstatic. I feel wonderful. I mean, did you see how they collapsed? I mean, on Thanksgiving, they stuck up the joint. I thought that their holidays were going to actually be good for Cowboy fans. Can't be good after yesterday, what transpired yesterday afternoon. This is a very, very beautiful day. Cowboy fans everywhere. I can't find anybody. Now, I will give credit to my buddy, the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, that Hall of Famer with the yellow jacket, obviously three Super Bowl titles. Now, he did ultimately come out of hiding. It took him about 12 hours, Greeny, but he came out of hiding to actually speak to me just literally a few minutes ago and tried to make the excuse that, you know what, it all coalesced with one another. It's come together just like this is an awful year for the world. You know what? It's right in line with the Cowboys. Just trying to find a way to soften the blow of their ineptitude. But there's no pulling this off. Fake punts, interceptions, fumbles by Ezekiel Elliott. No matter which way you turn, Antonio Gibson looking like the second coming of Barry Sanders or Walter Payton or Jim Brown, whatever word, whatever name you want to come up with. This is what happened to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I've got to tell you something right now, Greeny. For those Cowboy fans out there, I don't blame them for hiding. I don't blame them for trying to sit up there and disguise their identities. I mean, listen, as awful as they looked yesterday, they deserve it. For me personally, I understand you feel like a fool. I feel absolutely wonderful. This is a beautiful post-Thanksgiving moment as far as I'm concerned. I absolutely love Thanksgiving yesterday. It's one of the best Thanksgivings I've had in quite some time. Matter of fact, the last 2 years, considering how the Dallas Cowboys stuck up the joint against the Buffalo Bills last year, then they come and they lose this time around. My last couple of Thanksgivings have been quite wonderful, I might say.
Let's talk about the fake punt. We've spent a lot of time on it here.
Yeah.
What did you think of the play? What does it say about the coach's confidence in his team? Just what were your thoughts on that play?
Honestly speaking, in all seriousness, Greeny, I think Mike McCarthy has lost confidence in himself. I think that the year away from football has hurt him. He doesn't look better. He looks worse. Obviously, he had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback all of those years, but there's something to be said that when you have somebody that great, that lethal, and you still end up losing your job when you're supposed to be an offensive mind and your captain, your orchestrator is Aaron Rodgers, and you can't find a way to get it done, even though they did win the Super Bowl in 2010. The bottom line is, you know what, in the end, Aaron Rodgers thought you were a bit archaic, and for some reason, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones decides to bring this man on board. In no way am I trying to imply that Mike McCarthy doesn't deserve to be a head coach in the National Football League, but he's clearly not the right guy for the Dallas Cowboys because things apparently have to be ideal in order for him to resemble a head coach in the National Football League, a capable head coach. That was not a good call by any stretch of the imagination, and what was most embarrassing is how he tried to explain it in the aftermath in a post-game conference when he talked about you got to believe. You can't, you know, there's no chance of a play succeeding if you don't even try it, if you don't believe in it. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's essentially what he said. And so he has this kind of mentality. I understand that Dak Prescott is out. I totally get that. There's been, you know, a slew of injuries on your offensive line. All of those things are legit. But when you got Ezekiel Elliott and you got CeeDee Lamb and you got Michael Gallup and you got Amari Cooper, okay, you should be able to figure out a way not to lose to a team that has a quarterback that essentially was out for the previous 2 years, okay? And you don't have much to speak of on the offensive side of the ball, and still you get shellacked the way that they did. It's no excuse for it. It was a bad call, but ultimately it was a bad game, period.
No question. Now listen, right before, in that little highlight that I showed right before I brought you on, we saw Jerry Jones sitting in his box. And Ed Werder made the point earlier that in all other seasons, you would hear from Jerry Jones after all of these games. But this year, because of the circumstances, the reporters aren't able to go be around him. So we can only wonder, what do you think? Because I know you follow him closely and you know him. What do you think is going through his mind as he watches this?
I think that Jerry Jones is a prideful man that doesn't want to admit prematurely, to say the least, that he made the wrong decision at head coach. Somebody that's younger, somebody that has the ability to ingratiate themselves with players a little bit better, may have been the right man for this job. Again, that's not casting any aspersions on Mike McCarthy in terms of his resume. He is a Super Bowl champion. He's been to numerous NFC championship games. And I think that the man should be a head coach in the National Football League, but not the Dallas Cowboys. When you consider the star, America's team, all the ambiance that comes associated, the microscope that they are under, how Jerry Jones is your president and your GM and everything in between, and you've got all of this stuff going on, that's not the kind of environment that a guy like Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, can handle. He wants to go about the business of just coaching a football team, but it takes a little extra to coach the Dallas Cowboys, and it takes a little extra to ingratiate yourself with guys who know you're not really the man. The owner, Jerry Jones, is the man, and his son, Stephen Jones, is the man. It's not the head coach. You at the very least fall third in line in the eyes of the players. And when they know that, it's just a different relationship that they ultimately end up having with a coach. And it's really unfortunate that Mike McCarthy is in this situation because, again, we've seen other coaches get let go prematurely. You brought up Jim Caldwell a bit earlier in the show in Detroit, how they made an egregious decision by letting him go. We saw, you know, we saw other programs. We saw the Arizona Cardinals basically say with Wilkes, you're out of here after 1 year. And even though I didn't like that decision, at the end of the day, with Kingsbury along with Kyler Murray as your quarterback, they seem to be moving in a forward direction. You cannot stick with a decision that's so flagrantly wrong as this one. And I think that Jerry Jones recognizes that. It's just that he's going to be incredibly hesitant to do anything about it, probably because of COVID-19, along with the fact that he doesn't want to admit so early and prematurely that he may have been wrong. That's not his way. But the Dallas Cowboys will sink because of it. It's unfortunate for them because I don't wish that on him. I don't wish that on the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboy fans, I couldn't be happier for their misery.
I've less than a minute here, Steve, but it does all kind of lead to this. You've got Mike McCarthy, and you wonder what happens to him. If you bring back Dak next year, it's going to cost you at least $39 million. You're paying a fortune to Amari Cooper, a fortune to Zeke Elliott, a fortune to some players on that defense. Do you think it is time that Jerry just hits the button and blows the whole thing up, just start the entire franchise over again from scratch?
No, I don't think, though. I think that Jerry and Stephen Jones has enough talent on this squad to do things right. You just have to find the right man to lead them, and you, Jerry Jones, have to have the decency and the intelligence to step back and recognize the fact that you can't go out on the field and coach them, so you got to pick the right man for the job, and you got to roll with him, period. That's what you got to do.
Stephen A. Smith, again, a very happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family. I know it was fun for you yesterday.
To you and
20 minutes
as well.
From First Take, coming up live here on ESPN. 20 minutes, Max, Stephen A., Molly, and company are ready to go. Thank you, Stephen A. Meanwhile, let me bring Mark Sanchez back in just for a moment, because you know he was the Mask Singer, and so on this program, he is the Mask Slinger. Looking at some quarterback matchups this weekend. Mark, Brady, head-to-head with Mahomes. Who's going to have a bigger day?
I think it's going to be Mahomes. We've seen just a little bit of hesitation with Brady, that marriage with Bruce Arians not going according to plan. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this guy's on cruise control right now. He looks so strong. He's throwing underhand passes, left-handed passes. Look for one around his back this week. He looks too comfortable.
Next, two young stars meeting up in Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Who has a bigger day?
You know, Justin Herbert's lighting this league on fire. Other than his new haircut, he looks like Central Casting from Stand By Me. Remember that old movie, those kids walking around on the train track looking for whatever. But listen, Josh Allen, he's having a career year. Completion percentage is off the charts. He's playing great. They helped him out getting Stephon Diggs, and that's been huge for him. He's got a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I'll take Josh Allen.
I like it. All right, one more. Two young quarterbacks. Tua versus Darnold. Who has a better day?
You know, a strange week last week for Tua, getting benched against the Denver Broncos. I got more on that. We could talk about that in a minute. But listen, he's going to have a great game this week. I really think that they saw, some good defenses last week. He was very conservative, threw the ball away, took sacks when he needed to, missed on a couple deep balls. But this is the week. They're going to open up the playbook for him and start to develop this young quarterback that has all the talent in the world. That's why you drafted him. Let him chuck the ball around the field.
I like it. The Mask Slinger with us here. Mark Sanchez, sit tight. We're coming back to you in just a moment. In the meantime, as we continue, we have a lot more to do on this edition of Get Up. Something I never thought I'd say about cleaning up the mess in the NFC East, but I will say it whether people like it or not. And then, does any of our crew give Tampa Tom a chance against Mahomes and the Chiefs? We make our picks as Get Up continues on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL
at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, and my picks are coming up in just a few moments, and they are brought to you by DraftKings. I will give you all the insight that you need for the games coming up on Sunday. And again, this is Greeny with you, welcoming you back to our studio. And Get Up, we're with you commercial-free for the next 13 minutes on this day after Thanksgiving. And then First Take comes your way at the top of the hour. And they've got a lot to get into. Is Mike McCarthy to blame for the Cowboys' poor performance on Thanksgiving? Stephen A., Max, and Molly will debate that and a whole lot more when they join us in a moment. And of course, we've spent so much time today on that game between Dallas and Washington yesterday. And you take a look at where it leaves the standings as of right now. The 4-7 Washington football team finding itself atop the division. The Eagles, of course, sitting there with that tie, so they have a chance. FPI still sees Philly as the favorite to win the division based on the tie. Should point out the Eagles have a tough game Monday night against Seattle, while the Giants play Cincinnati, which figures to be reeling coming off of losing Joe Burrow. So let's just, as we come out and sort of think about this for a moment, here's the way I view that division, and I want to see if you guys see it the same way. Bart Scott, I'll start with you. The two teams we expected to be good this year and expected to be battling it out for the division this year, Dallas and Philly, are both kind of payroll bloated messes, while the Giants and Washington both have some nice young pieces to build on. You watch Washington yesterday. The running back is a rookie. The wide receiver is a second-year player. They got a ton of studs on that defensive line. They have a coach people really like in his first year. Giants have a lot of things going for them as well, and Daniel Jones is playing better. The way I look at that division, the Giants and Washington feel like the two teams on the come, and Dallas and Philly look like two teams that need to hit that plunger and just blow the whole thing up and start over. Bart Scott, what do you think?
I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Greeny. When you think about, you know, Philadelphia and you think about Dallas, these are teams that have been in their winning cycle for a while. Now they have a quarterback in which they have to pay big money. You think about, you know, the Washington football team, you think about the Giants, they have young quarterbacks and now they have assets and they have a ton of cap space. You talk about the Philadelphia Eagles next year being $64 million over the cap. Dallas has a huge decision to make if they're going to pay Dak Prescott $39 million. You have an aging Tyron Smith that's eating a lot of the cap up. I think if you're in Washington or if you're in New York, I think you feel good about your chances, especially if Alex Smith comes off the books next year. They'll be able to, you know, address the quarterback position, but have a ton of cap space to maybe invite some talent to that division and to that football team.
Yeah, and they have a coach that everybody likes and wants to play for. Mark, you've been on our show for so long now talking about, I know you love Dak Prescott. We love Dak Prescott. And if anything else, Dak Prescott's value, I think, has increased since he got hurt and we've seen what's become of them. But he is going to be a $39 million player next year if he plays on the franchise tag. And I just ran through the numbers. Zeke Elliott's getting paid a fortune. Amari Cooper, guys on that defense. Do you think the Cowboys need to blow it up and maybe that includes not bringing Dak back?
Well, I don't know if that's the move. You got to bring Dak back. Like you said, his stock just went way up because you see this team is completely lost without him. And it's going to take too much time to develop a young rookie with a team that needs to win now, that's built to win now when they paid all these guys to be there for this amount of time. And God, they still have a guy wide open on this freaking punt, on this fake punt. That makes me so mad. But it's all right. I think you got to get Dak back. Figure that out, but some of these other players that you paid big money to might need to get released, and you might have to eat some of that contract money. But right now in that division, the stability meter is Ron Rivera and Alex Smith. Those guys have the experience. They're ready to win. They've seen it. They've done it, and that's what's going to win down the stretch.
I think that's right. And Rob Ninkovich, I mean, Sanchez said it exactly right. The Cowboys and Eagles are teams that were built to win right now, and they are a combined, I'm doing this in my head, they have a combined 6 wins and 1 tie and however many losses that adds up to, 13, I think it is. So what does that say? If you're in that situation and you're a win-now team, where are you, Rob Ninkovich?
Well, they both those teams made mistakes with who they paid. You look at the Eagles, they guaranteed $107 million to Carson Wentz, and right now he looks like he's not the guy for them moving forward. He's not performing to the level of his contract. And then you look at the Cowboys and what they paid Zeke, in, they paid a running back top dollar in a passing league. And everyone could say, yeah, well, they were running the ball and they had a great offensive line. But look around the league, there's a reason why other teams have decided, let's spend our money elsewhere rather than the running back position. This year, Zeke leads the NFL in fumbles, doesn't seem to have the same burst. So you look at Washington, they're a young team on defense. They look promising to me. I think that they could definitely win the division this year. Maybe even sneak up on somebody in the playoffs, because when you have a quarterback like Alex Smith who can make the right decisions, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
And they will get a home playoff game, assuming they're the ones who win that division. And just one quick final thought on mismanagement. You pay all that money to Zeke Elliott, which you didn't have to do, but you decide to do it, and then you go out and hire a coach. The book on him is they don't run the football. Mike McCarthy's teams never ran the ball in Green Bay, so none of it really seems to make sense. The problems seem to begin at the top. Meanwhile, let's look ahead to Sunday's games, a very interesting weekend in the NFL, and we'll go on the clock here. Bart, I'm starting with you. Who's the most important player on the field? Titans, Colts, 30 seconds, Bart, go.
Well, you have the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, which is Darius Leonard versus King Henry. It's going to be important that the Colts stop that running game, able to keep him in check. Last time they played, Darius Leonard is one of the best middle linebackers, a habitual line stepper, and a guy who takes things personal. If you watched the game yesterday, last week against Green Bay, I'm excited to see him play against Henry.
Listen, if there's one thing that is not a surprise, it is that Bart Scott has named the linebacker as the most important player on the field. Next up, Ninkovich, I will come to you. Bears, Packers, Sunday night. Who's the most important player on the field? Go.
Well, look, the offense for Chicago's 31st ranked overall, 32nd in rushing. So unless they can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers with Khalil Mack, he's my guy. He's going to have a big game. Disruptive, get inside the pocket just like he did against Tom Brady. If they can do that defensively, the only way for them to win is on defense. So I'm thinking Khalil Mack's got to be the guy, have a big time game, be disruptive, get after Aaron Rodgers. If they can do that, they have a chance. But if they're going to rely on their offense, it's not going to happen.
Again, the death, taxes, and Ninkovich picking a defensive player is the most important one on the field. The three things in life you can count on. Mark Sanchez, I think I have a feeling what position you might look at. Chiefs-Bucks is the game of the weekend. Who's the most important person? Go.
Slight curveball, but I'm going Bruce Arians. Listen, he's identified problems. He's aired out Tom Brady in the media plenty this week. Now, once you've identified a problem, try and solve it for me. It's your job as the coordinator, head coach, to make your quarterback comfortable. So what are you going to do this week to help him identify coverages, to get more comfortable in the pocket, to hit a higher percentage of your passes? Let's use some shifts. Let's use some motions. Let's go up to the line of scrimmage with two play calls and let Tom Brady decide. Throw some wrinkles in there to make him comfortable and look like the best quarterback of all time, which he is.
Very sneaky, Sanchez. You manage not to name the quarterback, but still make it about the quarterback. So I think that's extremely well played. Bart, let me come back to you on that and on that team and on that game, because there's been so much focus on them. What do the Bucs need to do Sunday to have a chance to beat Kansas City?
Run the football. Have a conviction of running the football, setting up play action, keeping Mahomes on the bench. We know what the recipe is. We see the Raiders do it. We saw the Chargers for a brief moment do it. Run the football, keep Mahomes on the bench and put pressure on him that when he does get opportunities to make plays, that he has to make seven, not three. You do that, you shorten the game, you limit the possessions.
Ninko, your old teammate Tom Brady needs some help. How does he do it? How do they win this game?
They got to keep him upright. I know their offensive line's banged up a little bit, but they cannot have him drop back and be hit multiple times. Every game that they have lost, he has been on the ground often. So for them to get through this game against a good team, Kansas City's going to score points. So they're going to have to score points. They're going to have to keep Tom upright. If not, they won't win this game if he's on the ground too much.
Well, look, one of the strategies, Mark Sanchez, when you play against a high-flying offense like Kansas City, is not to try and match them score for score, but to try and run the clock down, to try and keep Mahomes on the sideline. So when you say run the football with conviction, like Bart Scott said, in this particular game, Mark, that does seem to make sense to me.
Oh, and they have the scheme, and they have the players to do it. Now, up front, they're a little banged up, but LeGarrette Blount, Rojo in the backfield, these guys, they got to get their touches. And then, of course, get Tom Brady comfortable with some underneath throws. Those are essentially run game type throws, the quick screens that he got so good at in New England. Those are essentially long handoffs. Let him do what he's good at, stack a bunch of completions, and then take timely shots down the field when it's appropriate.
All right, so let's get our picks for the game here. Everyone's going to make a pick on that one here, and we will start with, you see that our football analytics give a 57% chance of Kansas City to win. Bart Scott, who's going to win?
I'm going to go with the Bucks. I think, you know, they have good games, bad games. I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Wow, I didn't see that coming. Sanchez, who do you like?
Oh, I thought I was going to be the only one. I'm taking the Bucks. Overtime thriller, last second field goal, instant classic on ESPN.
Okay, listen, I'm way into that, if that's what ends up happening. Ninkovich, who you got?
27-2. That's 27 touchdowns and two interceptions for Pat Mahomes. Kansas City wins this football game because the defense of the Buccaneers hasn't played up to the expectations that they should in primetime games. So, look, I think Kansas City has too much firepower for the Bucs to stop.
Okay, well done. Those are the picks that the guys have on that game. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Greeny, how about your picks for all the games on Sunday? Well, here they come in 3, 2, 1. Cards, Pats, absolutely everything says Arizona should win this game, but I can't say it. Belichick will be ready for a banged-up Kyler. Give me New England, 23-21. Giants, Bengals, Big Blue, playing the best of anyone in the East, which is sort of damning with faint praise. But they're on the rise, and Cincy is crushed. 27-13, G-Men. Titans, Colts, the rematch. Tennessee opened a lot of eyes in Baltimore, but right now, Phillip Rivers is playing better than Ryan Tannehill. That's right, I said it. Indy wins the South, 31-23. Chargers, Bills, if you were starting a team, which of these young quarterbacks would you choose? Me too. But Josh Allen has a better team around him than Justin Herbert does, so 27-26 Buffalo. Dolphins, Jets, Tua needs a bounce back. Well, he's come to the right place. 33-23 Miami. Niners, Rams, LA should look familiar to the 49ers. They are this year's version of themselves, and they just might go to the Super Bowl too. I've got the Fighting McVays, 27-17. Finally, Chiefs, Bucks. If not now, when for Tampa Tom, whose coach needs to get out of his way. Everything leans the other way in this game, but I've got a hunch. 33-32, Buccaneers. So you see, I was all excited. I thought I was going to be the only one who picked them, and then, of course, the whole group is picking them, and that kind of took away my thunder. Okay, we have 1 minute left before first take. Bart Scott, your former team, the Baltimore Ravens, if they do wind up having to play a game on Sunday against Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh, without Lamar Jackson, without the running backs, with all the players they wouldn't be playing with, as of now, that game is scheduled to be played, do they have any chance to win?
I think 5% chance to win. Robert Griffin III, we haven't seen in a long time. He would have to turn the clock back almost 8 years and be a version of himself that we haven't seen in a very long time, Green.
What do you think, Ninkovich? Is any chance you give the Ravens to find a way to put together what would be one of the most shocking wins of the year?
No, I think it's just be too tall of a task for them going against a Pittsburgh defense that's playing really well right now, and the Ravens are trying to search for something of an identity that they can't find at this point right now. So, nope, I don't think they win that one.
Sanchez, any chance? Real quick.
I mean, it's 2020. Anything can happen. I don't see it happening this Sunday, though.
As of right now, that game is still scheduled to be played, but all our reporters are working on it. We'll see if there are more positive tests with the Ravens today. That could change everything. We hope everyone had a wonderful, safe, healthy, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you Monday, but the fun continues with First Take, starting now. Get up.